This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The debate over abortion rights has been thrust front and center in recent weeks by several new state laws restricting access to the procedure and also multiple court challenges to those laws. The public discourse around the issue is heated and emotional, and understandably so. The choice to have an abortion is intensely personal. As a result, we often hear the individual stories of women who have chosen to have an abortion, why they made that choice, what impact it had on their lives. But we rarely get the big picture. How many women opt for abortion? Who are they? And what most often drives their decisions? That's exactly what my next guest has written about for TheConversation.com. Lou Ireland is an assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UMass Medical School. Lou, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Your piece for The Conversation is full of facts and statistics that I, at least, had never encountered before, starting with the fact that one in four American women will have an abortion before their 45th birthday. I don't think that's a widely known statistic. I'm not sure we've had a good sense of how common this procedure is.
Yes, it is a very, very common procedure. You know, as an obstetrician gynecologist, I have the privilege of taking care of women and seeing how frequently the service is needed. You know, when you think that each woman has 30 years of life of being fertile and needing to prevent pregnancy, you can see how unplanned pregnancy becomes so, so common.
And in fact, you cite another statistic that a 2011 survey found that nearly half of all pregnancies were unintended and that 42% of women with unintended pregnancies would opt for abortion.
That is correct. You know, that number has dropped since the Affordable Care Act has made contraception more available. Between 2008 and 2011, there was a 6% drop in the unintended pregnancy rate, but it still remains a big public health issue.
And I think one of the things that was most surprising to me in your piece was the fact that more than half of women who opt to have an abortion already have at least one other child. These are mothers.
Absolutely. These are people who know what it means to continue a pregnancy to term, know what it means to recover postpartum, and know what it means to parent. And I have never taken care of a patient who has made the decision to have an abortion lightly.
Well, Lou Ireland, what else do we know about who the women who opt for abortion are in terms of things like age, education, race, income?
Sure. I think the fundamental thing to note, which you mentioned, is that abortion is extremely common. So when we talk about one in four women, we're talking about our family, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, people that we love and trust to make good decisions. When we're talking at large, you know, the vast majority of women who choose abortion are in their 20s, mainly between the ages of 20 to 24. That makes up about a third of women who choose abortion. And then the second largest group would be between the ages of 25 to 29. As you mentioned, almost 60% of women who choose abortion have already given birth and understand what it means to parent. And then half of women who choose abortion live under less than 100% of the federal poverty level. So these are women who are poor, who make an average of about $19,000 for a family of three. So not being able to afford to parent is a huge motivator in choosing to end a pregnancy. When it comes to race and ethnicity, people of all races and ethnicities choose abortions. The largest group is white women, which make up almost 40%, followed by black women, which make up 27% of women who choose abortion. In my research of this, one of the things that I was surprised to note was that all religions are represented when it comes to people who choose abortion, with Catholic women making up the largest group at about 24%.
Well, Lou Ireland, let's dig into what we do know about what typically drives the choice to have an abortion. You know, many of the new laws that we're seeing passed or the debate often highlights things like the health of the mother and the health of the fetus. But a 2004 survey found that only 7% of women cited those kinds of health concerns in their choices. So what's driving most abortion choices?
So a great study in 2004 looked at over 1,000 women choosing abortion and broke down what their main reasons for choosing abortion was. The number one reason that people chose was that they were not ready for a child or another child, that timing was wrong, and specifically they felt like continuing a pregnancy and parenting would interfere with their education, interfere with their employment, or interfere with the ability to take care of their children or other dependents. And then the second most common reason was not being able to afford to parent another child. This is definitely reflected in the patients that I have taken care of. I can't tell you the number of women that I've taken care of who come to me with children and say, I didn't want to make this decision, but I have to because I need to be able to parent the children that I have. Similarly with, you know, education, you know, recently I took care of a young woman who was the first person in her family to go to college, and she wanted to be able to be the first person to graduate. And, you know, a pregnancy was not in line with those plans.
Well, Lou Ireland, another thing that you highlight in your piece for theconversation.com is the fact that, as we've already noted, that, you know, despite the fact that most women who opt for abortion are facing some sort of financial hardship, more than half pay out of pocket for this procedure.
That is absolutely correct. And it's a, you know, huge financial burden for women. And that's, you know, another piece that adds to the stigma of abortion. All the ways in which we treat abortion as separate from other medical procedures, you know, add to this culture that abortion is wrong or shouldn't be done. In my research for the article, I came across a statistic that's 58% of people who choose an abortion keep it secret from their family members and their friends. And this is not out of regret, because we know that 95% of people who choose abortion feel like it was the right decision and have no regret about getting the procedure.
Lou Ireland, as a medical provider, I wonder, we already talked about the fact that concerns about health or well-being, either of the mother or of the fetus, is the deciding factor in the minority of cases. Another thing that gets very high-profile coverage in the media and in the public discourse that's also a minority case is abortions later in pregnancy. The vast majority of abortions do take place during the first trimester. But as a medical provider, how important is this procedure for those cases where there is a health concern, you know, that may not surface until later in the pregnancy?
It is an absolutely vital part of patient care. So, you know, when, you know, like you mentioned, less than 1% of abortions happen in the third trimester. But when they do happen, you know, these are pregnancies where parents were very excited about parenting, went to prenatal care, were excited to see what they would see on ultrasounds, and then started seeing things that were not right.
A lot of debate, it's kind of an extra level of debate about abortion, comes down to how we talk about it, whether or not we use terms like pro-choice or pro-life, and whether we call it a fetus or an unborn child. When you, as a medical provider, Lou Ireland, are talking with a woman about this choice, what kind of language are you using?
You know, my goal as a physician is to build trust with my patients, make their experience as comfortable as possible. So a lot of times I'm following their leads. When I'm taking care of a woman who has a planned pregnancy with a fetal anomaly that is not going to continue, they may choose to use the word baby. Whereas, you know, if I'm seeing somebody with an unplanned pregnancy, you know, that might not be the language that I choose.
How different do you think the public discourse and public debate about abortion rights would be if more people, I guess, shared your understanding of abortion, of how common it is and what drives these decisions for women?
Well, I think that the public discourse, especially what we see when we turn on social media or what we turn on the radio or turn on the TV, is different than the majority of opinion in our country. So, you know, when we step away from what we title ourselves, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-choice, when we talk about who wants abortion to remain legal, 79% of Americans want abortion to remain legal. That being said, going back to your question on public discourse, you know, right now when we do turn on those media outlets, we're often hearing from politicians, celebrities, religious leaders, you know, sharing very strong opinions on the topics. And the voice that we lack, like you said, are the pregnant people who actually choose abortions. You know, I think if those stories were more heard, more common, you know, my hope would be that we would realize this as a common procedure that it is, and that, you know, these are people that are just trying to live their best lives, have the best health, and have the best outcomes for them and their families.
And yet, of course, there are plenty of Americans who do oppose abortion on moral and ethical grounds. What would you say to them?
I would say that, you know, we live in a country where thankfully everybody has a right to their own opinions and to live their lives the way that they feel is right for them. I would say that the people who choose abortion, please remember these are people you know, people you love, people who live near you, who you work with, who you have over for dinner. And these are people who make these decisions, you know, with a lot of thought and a lot of reflection. And in the same way that you would trust these people to take care of your children, you need to trust them to make the best decision for themselves and their families.
Lou Ireland is an assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UMass Medical School, and you can find her piece, Who Are the 1 in 4 American Women Who Choose Abortion, on theconversation.com. Lou, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.